The following message from Pastor Greg Laurie is made possible by some special friends of this ministry. Pastor Greg?
I wanted to say a special word of thanks to the Harvest Partners who make this ministry possible.
Next time you're online, check out Pastor Greg's personal blog at blog.greglaurie.com.
Committed Christians are the true rebels in culture today.
Coming up next, Pastor Greg Laurie urges us to resist conforming to anything other than Christ-likeness.
Don't tell me it's rebellious to do what everybody else does and say what everybody else says and be a woke person and conform to pre-existing culture that is changing before our eyes. You want to be a rebel? Follow Jesus Christ. You'll be a real rebel today.
Warns us that wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. Lots of folks going that way. It's the way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie shows us an alternative. He helps us through the narrow gate. It won't make us popular or politically correct, but better to live in a way that's pleasing to God, even if it displeases people, rather than the other way around.
I want to talk about a man that really changed his world. He is what we would call a hero of the Bible. And he did it during a very dark time in human history, maybe the darkest it has ever been. I'm talking about the time before the great flood when God brought his judgment upon planet Earth. Jesus called it the days of Noah. And it's relevant to us because Christ said, as it was in the days of Noah, so also shall it be when the Son of Man returns. So Christ is saying, remember how it was in Noah's day? It's going to be very similar in the time before my return. Yet, against this very dark background lived a man who walked with God, showing you can live a godly life in an ungodly culture, and I like to call him a world changer. What is a world changer? A world changer is someone who does not accept the status quo. Rather, a world changer wants to change the culture. They think for themselves and they do what is right. A world changer is a follower of Jesus Christ, and they affect their surroundings more than their surroundings affect them. And a world changer is someone who wants to make a difference. In fact, world changers, or let me put it another way, committed Christians are the true rebels in culture today. Don't tell me it's rebellious to do drugs and party. That's status quo, man. Don't tell me it's rebellious to do what everybody else does and say what everybody else says and be a woke person and conform to pre-existing culture that is changing before our eyes. A world changer, a real Christian, is someone that believes this book and they live by what this book says. You want to be a rebel? Follow Jesus Christ. You'll be a real rebel today. You don't even need a leather jacket or a motorcycle or your wallet attached to a chain. I don't know why bikers always do that, you know? Who's going to take a biker's wallet anyway? But, you know. But that's real rebellion in the best sense of the word. World changers are thermostats, not thermometers. A thermometer just tells you what the temperature is. A thermostat changes the temperature. And in the same way, a world changer changes the world. Well, the guy I want to focus on, well, everyone knows the story. His name was Noah. We think of Noah, we immediately think of Noah's Ark, and that's appropriate. But there's a lot more to his life than then. But Noah is one of a number of people, men and women, that are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, which has been described as the Hero's Hall of Faith, sort of the rock stars of the Christian world, of the Bible culture, the people that just stood out and lived as God wanted them to live. They're not in the Heroes Hall of Faith because they were perfect. In fact, they were far from it. They're there primarily because they exercised faith. That's the word that keeps popping up again and again. By faith, they did this. By faith, they did that. And it just reminds us that you don't have to be a perfect person to be used by God. God is not looking for ability. He's looking for availability. God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. He's just looking for some man, some woman, young or old, to just say, all right, Lord, here I am. Send me. I want to make a difference in my world. I want to make a difference in my family. I want to make a difference in my culture. I mean, look at some of the people God used, for Pete's sake. I mean, there's some people that messed up pretty badly. When we think of Abraham, well, Abraham, the father of faith, yeah, he had faith, but he stumbled in his faith at least twice, lying. Sarah, his wife, laughed at the promises of God. Then she denied that she laughed. Samson, he made it into the hall of faith. He was a woman chaser and a pretty immoral guy. Gideon struggled with fear and self-doubt. Rahab was a prostitute. David had an affair and murdered a man to cover it up. Elijah the prophet struggled with depression and wanted to die. The Samaritan woman had multiple divorces. The disciples fell asleep when Jesus asked them to pray. Simon Peter denied the Lord three times. Timothy had an ulcer. Lazarus was dead. So what's your excuse? I mean, seriously, God cannot use you. And Noah, the guy we're going to focus on for the next two times, is a man who got drunk and put himself in a compromising position. But God gave him a second chance. But here's what Moa? Okay, that's a new character I just invented. Moa was his brother, his lesser known brother, Moa. He just built a little rowboat with a hole in it. But Noah, Noah built an ark, right? But Noah had great faith and a great God. I think he's a misunderstood character, even caricatured. Of course, it's even cartoons. Steve Carell portrayed him for laughs in Evan Almighty. Then there was that film where Russell Crowe portrayed Noah. That was one of the weirdest films I've ever seen. I think he was channeling Gladiator more than Noah, because there's a scene when he's getting the ark ready to go and people are trying to get in, and Russell Crowe, as Noah, is killing people so they don't enter the ark. That's actually not what happened in the Bible. The fact is, the door to the ark remained open for a long time, so anyone who wanted to come could come. The fact is, nobody wanted to go in the ark. But so there's all these distortions of the story, and it's important to go back to what the Bible says. So Hebrews 11 tells us this: by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear and prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. So there's several principles in this passage that help us to understand what made Noah tick. Here's point number one, if you're taking notes. God revealed secrets to Noah. God revealed secrets to Noah. Hebrews 11, 7, he was divinely warned of things not yet seen. See, God spoke to him and his faith was activated. And I wonder if God has spoken to you lately. You know, sometimes people say, I don't think God ever speaks to me. I remember hearing Pastor Chuck Smith tell the story of his grandson who said to his mom, Mom, God never speaks to me. She said, honey, you know when you do something wrong and you feel bad in your heart for doing it? He says, yeah. She says, that can be God speaking to you. And he paused for a moment and then said, Mom, God speaks to me all the time. Yeah. There's a lot of ways God speaks to us. But he does speak to us. And the primary way he speaks to us is through the word of God. But God revealed a secret to Noah. The Bible says, the secret of the Lord is with those that fear him. When my grandkids were smaller, I used to take them to secret places. I would say, you know, we're going into a restaurant. Do you want to go in the regular way like all the other people? Or do you want to go in the secret way? Oh, they'd get all excited. The secret way, Papa. And I'd just take them in through a side door. But they thought it was secret. There was this park that's not far from our house. And so I said, we can go to the regular park or we can go to this other park. I call it the secret park. And that's where we went. It's not secret. Anyone can find it. But to this day, we still call it the secret park. Kathy, I say, I'm going to walk through the secret park. Well, you know, but we like secrets, right? So the secret of the Lord is with those that fear him. God reveals things to Christians that people who are not believers don't understand. As an example, as a Christian, I know that God's word is true. You see, the basic Christian in many ways knows more than some of the great intellects of our world because we believe this book. And we know because we believe this book that there are certain things that are true and certain things that are not true. For instance, we know man is not basically good. Man, that's a hard one to believe, isn't it? Oh, man's basically good. Really? Well, the Bible doesn't teach man is basically good. The Bible teaches that man is basically sinful. Now that makes sense. And the world makes more sense when I accept the premise we're not basically good, we're basically sinful. But the Bible also teaches that God is good. The Bible teaches that one day judgment will come to the world. The Bible teaches that it's going to get worse before it gets better. The Bible teaches that one day Christ will return and he will right every wrong. And Jesus even said to the Father, Father, thank you that you've hidden these things and revealed them to your children. So when you believe the Bible, you know things other people don't know. And Noah understood that, and God revealed secrets to him.
Pastor Greg Laurie will have the second half of his message in just a moment.
So many listeners have commented on the encouragement they receive with these daily messages from Pastor Greg. God's word ministers to them, and it often gets them through some of their darkest hours.
Hi, my name is Meredith. I was brought up in the church and then rebelled. I had three children, three boys, beautiful boys, healthy, happy. And then I decided it was time to get my life together. I never realized that religion is different from having a relationship with Jesus. And Greg Laurie was preaching one day after my oldest son, Michael, was murdered. He was 30 years old. I'm still broken in many ways from that, but I also have heard how suffering forms us into more of what God wants us to be. And I know that my son was saved. One day I was going down the road and I might have been feeling sorry for myself, but Greg Laurie was talking about the loss of his child. And at that moment, I knew I was supposed to hear his story. I just really want to say thank you. I know the pain, but I also know there's joy in life. And I hope that my testimony to you has let you know in some way that you're making a difference. Thanks so much.
We're so moved to hear from listeners like Meredith who have been helped by Pastor Greg's teachings. Do you have a story that you'd like to share with us? Why not call us and let us know? Our phone number is 866-871-1144. That's 866-871-1144.
And now Pastor Greg continues his study called The World Changer at the End of the World, Part 1. Let's listen.
Number 2, Noah had a great reverence for God. He had a great reverence for God. I think that maybe this is lacking in our culture today. Have we become too casual with the Lord? Have we taken him for granted? Possibly. When it says he moved with godly fear, that does not mean that he cowered in fear before God. A better way to translate that would be he moved with reverence. We need to have reverence for God. And one definition of the fear of the Lord that I like is a wholesome dread of displeasing him. A wholesome dread. Not cowering in fear, like God's going to smack me, but rather, I love God so much, and God is so holy, I have this respect for him. But maybe we've gone too far the other way. You know, Jesus is my homeboy, man. Hey, newsflash, your homeboy, so-called, created the universe. Have a little respect when you talk to him. Have a little respect when you worship him. Have a little respect when you speak his name. I've gotten to know Dr. James Dobson pretty well over the last few years, and I've been with him in a lot of situations. And he'll say to me, Greg, call me Jim. And I'll say, okay, Dr. Dobson. He goes, no, call me Jim. And I don't feel comfortable calling him Jim for some reason. And I think it's because I respect him. So I'll say, well, Dr. Dobson, or if I want to be super casual, I'll say, Doc, listen. You know, so that I call him that out of respect. And so Noah had this reverence and respect for God, and he never lost that reverence for the Lord. And so he was a last days believer because he was living in the time before the flood came. Why did the flood come? Why did God send judgment on the earth the first time? The answer is found in Genesis 6. I want you to turn over there if you would. Genesis 6. If you don't know where that is, it's right after Genesis 5. Hang a hard left and go all the way, and you will find Genesis 6, first book of the Bible. Genesis 6, 5 gives us a description of the world in the days of Noah. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of his thoughts was only evil continually. You might underline that. Only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. I'd underline that too. I'll come back to it. So the Lord said, I'll destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, man and beast, creeping thing, and birds of the air. I'm sorry I made them. We'll stop there. What exactly was going on here on planet Earth to bring God's wrath so heavily? Genesis 6:5 gives the answer. The Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every intent of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. I'm just amazed at the things I read in the news today. You know, the news feed, just the atrocities, the horrible acts that people do against people. It's just endless. And, you know, I don't even have to illustrate this. It's just heartbreaking. It's disturbing. And it just seems like people find new ways to do evil things. And that's what was happening at this time. But, you know, what this shows us is God is aware of the wickedness of man. He's paying attention. And their wickedness is full to the brim, would be a better translation. Sort of like an overflowing trash can or a septic tank, you know? It's bad. It was stinking to high heaven. It was so bad. You know, it's interesting. The book of Genesis can be divided into three sections. Generation, degeneration, regeneration. Generation, degeneration, regeneration. So first it was generation when God created all things and said it was good. Then degeneration, that's when sin entered into the garden, when Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit, then regeneration. We're at phase two here, degeneration. And God said he's grieved. Now, it's interesting that the word grieved is used here in verse 6. You only grieve for those you love. You don't grieve when some random person cuts you off on the road. You get angry maybe, upset, but it doesn't grieve you. It grieves you when your child is disrespectful or goes astray, or someone you love or care about says or does something that hurts you. You're grieved only by the people you love, right? So the fact that God uses the word grieve shows us that this is hurting the heart of God because he loves humanity. You remember Jesus looked over the city of Jerusalem and he wept over them because he knew they were effectively bringing judgment on themselves. And we read in Luke 19:41, he saw the city and wept over it, said, oh, Jerusalem, if you had only known this your day, the things that made for your peace. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever shed a tear for someone who is far from God? Have you ever shed a tear over a prodigal son or daughter, over a prodigal mom or dad, over someone you care about that's going the wrong way? God takes no pleasure in bringing judgment on anyone.
Pastor Greg Laurie, pointing out God's heart for lost sinners. Good insight today here on A New Beginning. And if you have a broken heart for someone who needs the Lord, we can help you share your faith more effectively. Pastor Greg has a great online personal evangelism course, and it's free of charge. It's called Tell Someone. Find out more about it by going to courses.harvest.org. Well, with Pastor Greg and me as special guests on the program today, we're happy to have Pastor Greg's wife, Kathy, and Jay and Catherine Wolf, authors of the book Suffer Strong. It chronicles their journey since the near-fatal brainstem stroke Catherine suffered about a dozen years ago. You know, Pastor Greg, I have an older car with an older navigation system. It hasn't been updated since the car was new. Mm. And when I drive into my neighborhood, at one point the road on the map and the road in front of me diverge. The builder must have changed the direction of the road at some point. And so as I drive, it looks like I drive into uncharted territory. And I think about how our lives sometimes feel like we've wandered into uncharted territory.
Yeah.
Not the way we'd mapped out. And well, that's sort of the subject we want to discuss today.
Yes, it's uncharted to us, but it's known to the Lord. And the Bible says the steps of a righteous man or woman are ordered by God. And we have a certain trajectory. Our life is following a certain direction. We hope our life will go. We maybe have a certain dream that we expect God to fulfill, and maybe he will. And maybe he'll surpass your dreams. The Bible says he's able to do exceedingly above and beyond that which we could ask or think. Or then again, the Lord might redefine your dream or change your course, but it's his course. I think of Joseph, all the hardship that befell him. And when he was in a position to get ultimate payback on his brothers who had betrayed him, he said to them, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good to save many people alive." So
Woo-hoo!
God's in. And you just, that was the voice of Catherine Wolf, who was affirming what I just said. And she knows what she's woohooing about because she's written a book along with her husband, Jay, called Suffer Strong. And why does that resonate with you, Catherine?
Oh, because it's my story. I mean, clearly, I should be dead, after the stroke. But then I would think that the way many times a story like mine could go down is a person is left feeling no longer qualified, honestly, at life. And to proclaim the gospel for sure, but even to be, a person that lives with dignity in a hard story, much less one who is filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit in the broken vessel. So yeah, I'm with Joseph. Woohoo.
I think one of the most wonderful things that you guys are doing and providing for the rest of us is you are like seasoned guides along the path. Mm-hmm. You are showing us a way through. And I know that 11 years ago when Christopher died, I did feel the same way you described it in the beginning of the book, Jay, where you said you just felt like this is not the story. It's like this is the end of the story. This is everything's come crashing down. And I felt like I had written in chalk on a blackboard my dreams of what Christopher's life was like and our grandchildren that he was bringing into this world. And all of a sudden, God took this giant eraser and he just wiped the blackboard. And I felt at sea, had it not been for people like yourself and for the Word of God and for the saints that have suffered before me, if we open our eyes in the scriptures, like to Joseph and others who have suffered, there's so many. But we tend to just sort of focus on the good parts and the triumphant parts and the happy endings and the perfect stories. And we overlook these until we're in that place. And what I love about your book is that you've gone through something that few of us have ever been through and most likely will never go through, but it's been deep. And like you say, those treasures in darkness that you've discovered, you are like the seasoned guides that are taking us through this country that is uncharted for us. And many of us feel afraid, and it's wonderful to have you there. Thank you for writing this book. Thank you so much for showing us how to suffer strong, because sooner or later, at some degree and at some point, we're going to suffer. It's just we live in a fallen world. It's inevitable. And thank you for being such bright lights.
You know, thank you.
Right
you
back
know,
at you.
You know, they say one day you will tell your story of overcoming and it will be someone else's survival guide.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's vital that any of us find this narrative of God in our pain and talk about it and tell it. Mm-hmm. And God will connect the dots with just who needs to hear it. And so that's been such a humbling part of our journey. And it's not also one directional. I mean, when we go out and get to share our story or what we've learned, it reminds us that it is true, and it makes us want to live into it even more deeply. So it's such a powerful cycle.
Such deep insight from Jay and Catherine Wolfe, authors of the new book we're making available called Suffer Strong. Do you have a copy of this yet? We want to send one your way to help you with the challenges you're facing right now. If you're not facing challenges right now, well, praise God. But that's temporary. And it's best to get prepared for the storm before the storm. So we'll send you Suffer Strong to thank you for your donation that helps us keep bringing Pastor Greg's studies to you each day. You can write us at A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or call 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. Or go online to harvest.org. Next time, Pastor Greg brings more insight from this great hero of our faith. We'll continue learning from the life of Noah next time on A New Beginning.
The preceding message from Greg Laurie was made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Sign up for Pastor Greg's free daily email devotions at harvest.org.